Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program here on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Walker Wildman. And Steve Jordahl is also with us now from American Family Radio News and OneNewsNow.com. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, all.
Hey, before we get back to the news, I want to say hello again to our good friend Lynn Ingram from Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent Company. And it's really a creation for charitable purposes, and that is to support American Family Radio, American Family Association. Lynn joins us once a week, most weeks, from Abilene, TX. How you doing, Lynn?
Good morning, Tim and the guys. It's a great day in West Texas.
Is it? Is it a nice day in Abilene? That's good.
It's raining, and it's beautiful in West Texas.
Well, seeing rain on the West Texas is a nice thing. I understand.
It's beautiful, Tim. It's beautiful, really. How are y'all today?
We are doing well, and appreciate you joining us.
Yes, sir.
Okay, folks, you've been hearing our radio spots promoting the Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent and other products that if you purchase American Family Radio benefits from. And you can go and check out what items are available to you at afastore.net. Please do that. Check that out. afastore.net is the website. Lynn and his partner Jim Duncan created the Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent. I mean, they came up with the recipe for it, if that's what you call it. Created it. They've invested their own money in producing it. Mm-hmm. And so all we need now is to move it out and ship it out across the country. We're getting great reviews from people who've actually used the product. Lynn figured, people are going to buy laundry detergent anyway. So why not use something that supports a Christian ministry?
Yes, sir.
Am I right? Have I got that right, Lynn?
100%, Tim. 100%.
Okay, you caught me mid-coffee there.
You're supposed to say a little bit more than that, Lynn.
I expected about a 30-second answer, so I picked up my coffee cup and...
And, of course, the rest of us could have jumped in and helped you
out, but we just enjoyed watching it.
I wanted to see how you were going to handle it.
Well, I handled it by almost spilling my coffee everywhere because I didn't...
If you had spilled it on your sweater, you could have cleaned it up with some Redeem Clean laundry
detergent.
Duly noted. 3 seconds. 3 seconds of silence on radio is like
an eternity.
Hey, I do want to ask you this. I had a question, Lynn. A week ago or so, had my grandchildren with me. I got 5 now. Is that right, Walker?
That's right.
And Walker?
Technically,
Walker's
7.
Walker's my son. He helps keep up with how many grandchildren I have.
Technically 7, because my wife is carrying 2 right now.
Yeah, Walker and Lexi are expecting twins in April, so then we'll have 7, 5 and under.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I pray and I say, God bless number 4, because I can't remember. No, I'm just kidding. But I do want to ask you this. So I'm eating with them. Not that I had to be eating with children for this to happen, but it sounds better for my benefit. I got mustard from my hamburger on my pink shirt.
Oh.
Yeah, at several places. Allison said, what were you – you wallering in it? What are you doing here? You understand that word from West Texas, wallering.
Wallering.
We do.
Yeah, I understand.
We do.
So, Lynn, I got mustard. I mean, I'm talking about yellow mustard. And that was a dickens to get out. First of all, I'm just curious, why is mustard so staining?
The color in there is really robust. It's really hard to get out. You need to soak it. As soon as it happens, you can daub it and try to get as much you can out, but you really need to soak that garment for a little while with some detergent and kind of loosen it up. It will loosen up those dyes from that, and it will come out, Tim.
Why does, I've always wondered this, my questions of life, this is a top 50. This is a top 50. Now, mm-hmm. It's not a top 10, but it's a top 50. Why does watermelon stain? I don't even see the juice.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that's a good one. I didn't know that was a problem. It's not for many other people, Tim.
I've sat up nights thinking about it. you turn off the news and the crickets are sounding. You think to yourself, "Why does watermelon stain so bad?" Do you know what? Is it some kind of acid or something or what?
It must be. I don't know. Okay. But again, if you will daub it up as soon as it happens, while it's wet, or has a chance to set in there, you'll have a whole lot better chance to get it out.
I think cantaloupe does that too. I'm not sure.
Tim, could I bring up one thing?
Yes, please.
Walker and I talked about a few weeks ago. People said one of the questions come up is, why do you support this? Why do you support this ministry?
Yes.
And why? And could I just give
you
about
go.
2 minutes?
Go ahead, brother.
Number one is, I love this question. I love it because it gives us the opportunity to tell the story. It tells the story of what God's done in our lives, how He's called us to do something, and He's been very specific. He's laid out what we to do. It's taken 6 or 7 or 8 years in the making, and all the who, the what, the when, the where, the how, and the why has all come out. And this was developed from something that is in our wheelhouse. We know about this. And it was developed because of your stance on being fellow servants to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And where most companies give a small portion of their profits to their charity, we give a substantial amount off the top. Whether there's any profit in it at all, AFA and AFR is going to get it off the top. And we just feel like that's the way it's supposed to be.
Amen.
Jim Duncan and I and our families have been incredibly blessed. And this is something that we felt like we could do, and it's growing every day. We've got a great product, and we just need to continue to get the word out and tell people and encourage other business people to do something. Don't distract from their giving at their home church and their tithing and things that need to be done locally. But we all have extra that we can do. We have extra time and energy and creativity and initiative to do things. And we can all do more.
Amen.
And it was so awesome to hear, Tim, the testimonies last week with Sherathon. We love that. It's beautiful. And just thank y'all for all you guys do.
Well, thank you, Lynn Ingram from Abilene, Texas, joining us. Lynn and his friend created Redeem Clean laundry detergent.
Just to help AFA.
Yeah, that's the sales of it help us.
Mm-hmm.
And so go to people saying, well, how do I, Walker, people saying, how do I order this, Tim? How do I try it?
Yeah, go to afastore.net, afastore.net, and at the top of the page, there's a rotating banner there. One of the rotating banners is a Redeem Clean banner. Click on that. And one great thing, we had a lot of feedback from customers who said, I want more detergent. Maybe I don't use the dryer sheets. And so we created a couple more options where you can get 100 ounces of detergent instead of the dryer sheets and the multi-surface sprayer. So we added a couple new options there. So really you can pick whatever you want to kind of a la carte option there. So go and check that out, afastore.net.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you, Tim. Walker, thanks for that explanation.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. God bless you.
Have a great week, guys. See
you
next too. Time.
Enjoy the rain. Enjoy the Abilene rain. Sounds like a country song.
I was just going to say, sounds like a song.
Enjoy the Abilene rain.
That's
maybe
wow.
Jim Reeves. Good. Jim Reeves or somebody like that. An old-time country song. Steve Jordahl, good morning, Steve.
Good morning. How you doing?
What's going on, Steve?
Well, it's just we're starting to get some reaction to these devices that have been planted everywhere now that we're finding these.
Mailed to?
Mailed. Hand-delivered in at least one case. They do look like they are potential explosive devices. In other words, they were designed to be explosive.
Okay.
None of them have gone off unless they were set off on purpose by police.
For those who don't know, reset what happened this morning.
We have had 4 apparent explosive devices delivered on the East Coast to one sent to Bill and Hillary Clinton at the Chappaqua address. One sent to George Soros at a place in Katona, New York, which is
that was
not
a couple of days ago. True,
2 days ago. One this morning discovered in New York City at CNN. One sent to the Obama office in Washington D.C. The one at CNN was addressed. Actually, it was addressed to John Brennan, who's the ex CIA chief. He's now an NBC analyst. I don't know why it was sent to CNN, but anyway, that's what it was sent. So four of these suspicious packages, and they do look like they were bombs. And we're starting to get reaction now from people. Of course, the Open Society Institute from the George Soros's people and others. Of everyone that has had a bomb sent to them has reacted and said, stop. Hillary Clinton, every day, Chelsea Clinton tweets out, every day, I am grateful to the women and men of the United States Secret Service. Thank you. We've heard from Vice President Mike Pence. We condemn the attempted attacks against former presidents Obama, the Clintons, CNN, and others. These cowardly actions are despicable, have no place in this country. Grateful for a swift response of the Secret Service, FBI, and local law enforcement. Those responsible will be brought to justice. Sarah Sanders, on behalf of the White House, says we condemn the attempted violent attacks recently made against President Obama, President Clinton, Secretaries Clinton, and other public figures. These terrorizing acts are despicable, and anyone responsible will be held accountable to the fullest extent of the law. The United States Secret Service and other law enforcement agencies are investigating and will take all appropriate actions to protect anyone threatened by these cowards. So we're starting to get reaction. It's still too early.
Has the president tweeted on this?
Let me look. Maybe he has.
I don't think he needs to.
Yeah.
Pretty quick, in my opinion.
Let me look here.
I know the press secretary put out a statement.
President Trump has tweeted out, retweeted Vice President Mike Pence's response, which I just read. And he said, I agree wholeheartedly.
Okay, good. Good, yeah. Good. I didn't know that.
Vice President Pence put out a statement that Steve's citing there, says, we condemn the attempted attacks against former President Obama, the Clintons, and CNN. These cowardly actions are despicable and have no place in this country. Grateful for swift action by the Secret Service, FBI, et cetera.
Good. Good. And the president retweeted that. So good.
And said, I agree wholeheartedly.
Yes. Good.
Yeah, so that's what's going on there. In other news, about 10 states across the country now have early voting that you're allowed to go out and cast a ballot early if you want. And it looks, from the first looks at who's coming in, of course, we don't know who people voted for, but we know by party affiliation who is going to the polls, and it looks like Republicans are turning out in strength. Again, it doesn't guarantee that they're all voting for Republican candidates, but it's a pretty good bet. They are in Tennessee, 63% of early voters are affiliated with the Republican Party, only 30% aligned with the Democrats. The Republicans are outpacing Democrats by 11 points in Arizona, by 6 points in Florida, by 9 points in Georgia, and by 12 points in Indiana, by 17 points in Montana, by 10 points in Texas. The only place that the Democrats are outpacing Republicans is in Nevada, where they hold a 45-38% lead in early voting. So I think it speaks to the heat that was placed under the Republican base, given the Kavanaugh hearings and now the caravan that's coming up and all of the rhetoric that we're seeing from the Democrats. I think it's starting to heat up the Republican base.
Yeah. Well, and typically the early voting doesn't happen in these kinds of numbers, right?
Right.
No.
So it's usually far, far lower in terms of voter turnout. So obviously something is going on, and where Republicans were way behind in terms of expected turnout months ago, I think they're beginning to see the fact that this is an important election, even though it's a midterm election. Mm-hmm. Critical things are at stake. The House obviously being one, and one of those that's at stake. And the reason it's important is because not only would it bring congressional action to a standstill if Republicans held the Senate, but then you have the specter of Nancy Pelosi running the House as Speaker, hearings.
I don't receive that.
Katie bar the door.
Hearings in terms of Trump, endless.
Katie doesn't receive it either.
Katie doesn't receive it either. Well, she's barring the door.
You're right.
Yeah, endless hearings about Trump and Russia and Kavanaugh and all that.
Right now, the professional prognosticators are saying that it's very unlikely the Democrats can take the Senate. In fact, the Republicans are likely to pick up 3 to 5 seats in the Senate. Mm-hmm. The House is another matter. Depending on who you talk to, it's a toss-up or likely that the Democrats could pick up the House, which in which case all of those parade of horribles that you just read off would start.
You know, Abe and I talked about this a little bit last night. I know you have some clips from that, but I think we're going to see something in come 2 weeks from this past Tuesday, something that wasn't that many of us didn't see coming. And so you have basically every Republicans are leading in early voting in every state but Nevada, and that's unheard of. Usually, I mean, even in 2016 when President Trump won, then candidate Trump, Democrats were leading in every swing state in early voting. I mean, early voting is really a Democrat thing. I mean, that they lead in early voting every election pretty much historically. So to see Republicans leading in early voting, that's something's going on here that's unusual, and it may favor the Republicans.
I don't know that really that anybody has credibly been able to explain what happened to polling and prognosticating for 2016. So I don't know that anybody's going to be able to say we've got a solution to make sure that we got it right for 2018 or 2020, frankly, at this point. So I wouldn't at all be surprised to find that what you say is true.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about what happened last night? I listened to that town hall meeting last night. I know you guys talked a little bit about it last night.
With Abe Walker and yours truly?
With Abe Walker and
me later.
You
came in the last 30 minutes to try to bail them out.
Well, I hope you won't be disappointed if I tell you. I think they were doing great for the first hour as well. Yeah.
Thanks, Steve.
I did. It was very informative, and I know you had Jim Jordan, you had Josh Hawley, who is the Missouri Attorney General who's running against Claire McCaskill, and you had Dave Bratt, the Virginia congressman, who's in a tight race against Abigail Spanberger. And because I thought it was great, I would love to play something that I know Tim is going to respond to because he's talked about this before. This is Jim Jordan talking about what he thinks should be done with the filibuster rule. This is cut 7.
We got to be willing to also have a debate with the Senate and say, you need to get rid of this 60-vote rule. There is nothing in the Constitution that requires 60 votes to get something done in the Senate. And really what it does is it just empowers 9 Democrats right now. They get to control things. And I don't think that's what the American people had in mind when they elected Republicans to control the House, the Senate, and they put President Trump in the White House.
That was Jim Jordan last night, who wants to be Speaker of the House, by the way. Mm-hmm. He's throwing his hat in the ring. And saying that he doesn't think the 60-vote rule in the Senate, even for legislation, is something that should be sticking around. Do you agree that, Tim?
I defer to Ed.
Well, I agree. I think I don't think Americans want congressional action to come to a screeching halt, and that's what the 60-vote rule does.
Right.
Because anything good that comes out of the House, Walkers, we've been complaining about forever. Anything good that comes out of the House cannot get 60 votes.
Yep. Right.
And I think most Americans are fine with the majority making the decision.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And the majorities, I mean, the thing is, if it was in the Constitution and the Founding Fathers noted it, you know, that would be a whole other discussion. You're talking about changing the intent of the Founding Fathers. But this is one of those things, as you mentioned, this is a rule. It's been changed multiple times. And the Founding Fathers did cite when a supermajority is needed, mm-hmm. which is impeachment and a couple other different things in the Constitution. So the Founding Fathers thought about this. The discussion was had, and they decided to leave legislation to a simple majority.
I think amending the Constitution, it requires
a supermajority.
Supermajority.
So this discussion was had with the Founding Fathers on what needs a supermajority. Legislation didn't make the cut, so I don't think it should make the cut now.
I've had time to think about it now.
You think?
Yeah, I deferred to Ed first, and then he switched over to Walker. And you're asking me about the 60-vote threshold?
Yes.
I get it. I get it. I don't know if we want to – it's just worth talking about anymore except by explaining to people from time to time what we're talking about here. But the Democrats and the Republicans the majority of those in both parties want to maintain 60 votes to get anything passed in the Senate. There are only 51 Republicans Now, maybe they'll be 55 after November the 6th. So, unless you're able to get, several Democrats to support legislation that the Republicans advance, then it's never going to be passed into law. And that's what we're talking about here. So, mm-hmm. for people like me, I say to Republicans in the Senate who could change this, to me, you're only hurting yourself because you're not going to be able to claim anything that you've done if you're in favor of letting the Democrats block you every day, all day. But for people like Mitch McConnell, and he's not alone, the majority of the Republicans in the Senate, they're in favor of not getting anything done unless you get to 60 votes. Now, they will tell you, we want to keep it that because one day we're going to be in the minority and we're going to want to block everything the Democrats do. Mm-hmm. So, and then some people will say it's a good thing that nothing gets done because we don't need anything else done.
I think any Republicans that actually believe that.
Believe what?
It's a good thing to have this in case we're ever in the minority. If they really believe that, I think they're being naive because the day when Democrats played by that rule.
And can change it.
And wouldn't change it, those days are over. Mm-hmm. Next time the Democrats get in charge of the Senate, I'm saying, they will change that rule.
Oh, yeah. It's given.
Yeah.
Because if they're willing to smear Brett Kavanaugh falsely to try to bring him down, who thinks they won't simply change a rule, which is way more civil than what they've been doing?
I think they probably could do that, change it to, but I think they would then change it back if they saw the Republicans were going to take over.
Who is it that talks about it when we have to prepare for when we're in the minority? Ed, wouldn't that be like the Bruins deciding that they were going to let go of their top draft picks because they knew they weren't going to win anything next year, so they're just going to stock up, pile money because they knew they're going to be losers? You wouldn't be a fan of any kind of sports team that thought about next year or that we're planning on losing.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you trying to change the topic to hockey.
Well, I know that you're anti-NASCAR Ed, so I wasn't going to talk about that.
No, it is a play not to lose strategy, I guess you're talking about. Listen, there are good people who support this. Right. They support 60 votes to pass anything, and they'll tell you why, and they have a valid reason. We don't agree with it here. But I think their reason is valid. But in today's political climate, if you think you're ever going to get to 60 on anything, now if the Republicans can reach 55, even 56, you would be within 4 votes of overcoming a filibuster or fake-a-buster, as Brian Fisher I think calls it. So anyway, hey, that's enough of that talk. We're about to lose people. We start talking filibuster too much, 60 votes.
Or if we start talking hockey.
Hockey, so we lose people.
We lose people.
How about this? Who wants to take a trip on the Titanic? The Blue Star Line is trying to recreate the authentic Titanic. They're making an exact replica of the thing, and they're going to sail it from Southampton to New York. The Blue Star Line, the one that lost the first Titanic. It's going to be exactly the same. It's going to have more lifeboats.
Listen, I think that would actually, you'd probably get a lot of people who would sign up for that.
They're trying to
especially if they make it a replica.
They're making it a replica and trying to recreate the ambiance.
But I bet they don't go in any northern waters.
I would headline with Celine Dion.
It could be. It could be.
Huh? Why Celine Dion?
She was in the movie.
I never saw it.
Was she in the movie?
She sang the theme song.
She had the signature song for the movie.
Oh, okay. I never saw it.
The movie.
Because I knew it was going to happen.
I'm the king of the world?
Yeah, I never saw it.
Okay. Hey, see you tomorrow, folks. Have a great day.